Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Hello, how are we?
I'm good. Yourself?
Oh, yeah, not too bad. Been dreading doing this one.
Tell me about it. So, Fiona's forecast number nine. Now, just letting listeners know behind the curtain, normally when I set up this Google Meet, I just call it FF for Fiona's forecast. Did you see the little letter I put at the end of that?
I did.
At FFS. Like, for fuck's sake. Like, what can go wrong?
Oh. How
Hearing.
many people walked under how many ladders this week at the club? I'm just wondering. Holding black cats. Something
Yeah.
like that's got to have happened, right?
It's. Yeah, I mean, we'll get to the ch-ch-ch changes, but. The starting point is to say Darcy Parrish out for a month is kind of devastating given all the injuries we have at the moment and everything else going on.
It's just frustrating that it happened at training. Like, that's the part I can't, that just shits me. Like, I just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's no, we shouldn't dissect it too much, I guess, because we'll just frustrate ourselves. But yeah, that's not ideal, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we don't know. Like, I'm not close to it, obviously, and I don't pretend to be close to it, maybe more importantly, but I'm not sure whether they. Sorry?
How noble of you.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know whether. Like this, we haven't had a heap of soft tissue injuries. We've had a lot of bad luck. So I don't think we should lose our shit too
True.
much over that aspect. I do think the short weeks don't help, and I wonder whether
Yeah, you've been big on the short week, so you reckon you're getting a bit of vindication here.
well, you can't have multiple short weeks. I did have somebody say to me, and like it's somebody I've interacted with before on Twitter, and I won't call him or her out because they're quite cordial and quite nice and usually make good points. But somebody said to me, "Oh, well, yeah, but it all evens out." And it's like, yeah, well, it does at the end of the year. Like, we will have longer breaks, or at least 7 day breaks very soon. But for an intense period of time, we've had short breaks.
And it doesn't undo the pain. We
No,
still,
that's right.
it doesn't
That's
undo
right.
the pain of the 7 of the, 5 weeks of very short breaks or 4 weeks, whatever it is. So just
Exactly.
because we do have long breaks, unfortunately,
Plus the travel, and
yeah.
we travel does have an impact as well. So, I've said it before that we were completely expendable when it comes to this fixture, and the AFL could have had, and I think they would have preferred to have an Essendon vying for the finals, and they could have had a really good story and more eyeballs on TVs and everything else. But instead, I think this little period has kind of sealed our fate for this year. But on the positive, I'm just going to treat these games as opportunities to see improvement, growth, young players hopefully putting their hand up. And I think that's the only approach that's going to keep me off a intravenous drip of scotch. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I think it's as it is, I think it's a fantastic achievement that we were even considering like the final late spot or finishing 7th or 8th, given where we all thought we were going to be at the start of this season, which is bottom four. So I feel in my heart that it's been a tremendous achievement, the fact that we're even being talked about for finals. No way would I have called that given where we were. So the fact that we've shown improvement and shown some consistency and a brand, I'm really happy about that and really, really buoyed for the future seasons. Look, I am very disappointed because I would have loved to see what the groups, it felt like something special was brewing, like we were just going to be on the end eventually of some of those close games and win them. But yeah, unfortunately, I agree with you. I think this is the final nail in the coffin. And mainly because it's not like it's 1 or 2 weeks and we can see there's a light at the end of the tunnel where they're coming back in, aside from Ridley and possibly sad King Kelly. But with Paris, she's not back soon. All, like, I looked at the injury list, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, weeks. Yeah. It's not like there's any immediate light at the end of the tunnel.
No, no, agreed.
Mm.
So let's go to the changes.
Mm. Okay.
And if we must. So I predicted it. I said Kane Baldwin in. So that's a little mini win for me. So I don't think anybody on the podcast last week gave me any or gave that any chance. And Sam Durham comes back after his ridiculous suspension. And again, Darcy Parrish month with a calf. I thought a calf was an old man injury.
Yeah. Unless he was tight from a game. Unless he did it in the game and felt tightness and pulled up badly, I hate to think he was having a run around it at training and did it. Like, that would just be.
I tell you what will be interesting. A lot of people have questioned the value of Darcy Parrish, including this podcast and members of this podcast, and what's his true value. And do we really, would it be the worst thing in the world if he walked, we were to, you know, use a pick to strengthen. This will be a good test of a Darcy Parrish less Essendon and how it performs.
Oh, two things on that. Firstly, I did say in the group chat that best we start preparing for a life without Parrish. I did say that because I do think he'll be gone by the end of the season, just my gut feel. No insider info on that. But the second thing is we have to remember that the people replacing him are going to be young Hobbs, young Caldwell, young Archie. So we're not going to see a Darcy-esque performance from them. So let's not.
No.
Let's see if we can handle life without him in 4 weeks, you know, because those young boys are going to be running through there and they're not going to be lighting, you know, bringing houses down in 4 weeks. So
I don't think it's the same. That'll be the same next year, although they'll just be a year older. But unless we augment the list with another midfielder who we bring in, but that'll be the same next year. So this will be a window into what life is like without Darcy Parrish. And I think we'll find out his true value. And I think we might probably be surprised at how much we miss him.
Clearances, definitely. 100%. The clearances. Our clearances will drop. Our final, you know, count at the end of the game, I reckon they'll be significantly less. But he's also number one or number two for a heap of surprising stats. I can't remember off the top of my head, but like possessions, total possessions, could be clearances, one of them. So, yeah, no, I don't think it'll be hunky-dory, but I do think it'll be good to see some of the young guns go through there.
Yeah, that's a glass.
But how much do we feel? How many bottles of scotch do we need to buy for Baldwin, the poor kid? God.
We spoke about it a few times, praying to whoever your preferred deity or omnipresent being might be. Get back to the prayers.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, okay, we're going to lose some clearances, but at least our back line is full strength. So the other outs are Jake Kelly.
Oh, my God.
And Jordan Ridley, who, I mean.
Two concussion solution, zero free kick.
Yes.
Please explain.
Was the Jake Kelly one understandable? Wasn't it kind of a bit fluky in the run of play?
The rules, hit in the head, that's it. Even if it's accidental, it's a free kick. If you hit the guy, if you hit high, accidental, in play, it's a free kick.
Well, Ridley wasn't a free kick, because we know from the fellow that was defended Rioli that Ridley ran into his elbow. That's like the excuse of the wife who comes home and finds her husband in bed with the next door neighbour. I'm not having sex with her. I just fell on her.
Yeah.
I tripped and I fell into her.
Yeah, fell into her genitals. Yeah, yeah. It's you had to read it to believe it. It was, yeah. But it worked. That's the shit thing.
Yes, genitals will be the subject of Tales from the Sauna later if we get there. We might run out of time. Okay. So that's obviously their big blows. But yes, Baldwin's come in.
We're Kane in big Baldwin, trouble. Solution.
And look, sometimes there are players that play better at a higher level. So they just raise their level. And you see this across a range of different sports. So maybe Kane will do a job.
So tell me, who have you got Kane lining up against? Hipwood or Danaher?
I think Hipwood, probably. And because he won't get monstered.
You got Zerk on Danaher.
Look, I think Zerk is...
Because in my opinion, Ridley would have been the matchup for Gunston. I think that would have been a good matchup. But now we're going to have to sacrifice, I'd say, Redmond to watch Gunston. And we know Redmond doesn't do his best work when he's matched up one-on-one on someone. So I'm already worried about that matchup. I'm really worried about Charlie Cameron without King Kelly, because he did a beautiful job on me last year. So McGrath is going to have to watch him, which is going to compromise a bit of his dash off half back. So it's just all fucked, basically. That's what I'm saying to you.
Well, yeah. just to really sort of highlight the fucked nature of our situation. I mean, Nick Hind is named in the back pocket. So maybe Hind will play on Cameron. How do you reckon that'll go?
That's a disaster wrapped up in a tight little burrito of shit. That's what that is. That sends chicken down my spine.
I'm gonna use that. What did you say?
Wrapped up in a tight burrito of shit.
Yeah, eloquently put.
Yeah, that's not gonna be good. Yeah, no, you can't.
I agree. And just to round off the teams.
Yep.
So the all important emergency list is Will Snelling.
Yep.
Rex Montgomery named.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Voss named. Mm-hmm. Massimo D'Ambrosio also named. Could we see one of Montgomery or Voss picked? This would
It's an interestingly cryptic emergency list, isn't it?
Yes.
You'd have to think it's a no for Snelling because we're already short. It's already a very small, short team.
Haven't stopped them picking him before.
That's true. You are very right. Oh, look, my gut says they wouldn't put a newbie in Brisbane as a sub for their first ever debut game. Surely they would not. That leaves D'Ambrosio
I question whether there could be a late change. I'm going to predict this every week. It's never going to materialize.
Well, what if you predict it every week? One week it will come to
this is true. Very good point. The Fiona's forecast 3027.
Yeah, exactly. You throw enough shit, it's eventually going to hit a fence.
Correct.
Yeah.
I wonder whether D'Ambrosio could come in. I just look and I think we don't have small defenders. We don't have defenders, actually. We really are fucked. Cole Langford will probably go back.
Yeah, I was just about to say Langford and Heppel, the roles they'll play is filling the holes. Mm. So closing any gaps of space that Danaher or Hipwood could lead into. So they'll, like, pretty much what Langford did against Geelong to help Zerk out with Hawkins, just plug that little bit of space that he likes to lead into. And he did a good job. So I suspect Heppel and Langford will play those roles in the back line to help out Zerk and Baldwin.
So who do you think will be the sub?
I think D'Ambrosio, but I think Montgomery could be a smart one because he could potentially play on Gunston as well and then to free up Redmond or to free Langford to go forward. So I think he's a bit more versatile.
And for those of us who don't, for those out there who don't know who Montgomery is or what his sort of bag is, just describe him.
Well, he's a medium agile defender. I'd say medium to tall agile defender. I believe he's what, 1.9? Would he be? Would you have his stats there, Solution? I believe he's maybe 189 centimeters. He's not super tall. Or maybe he could be more than that. No, you know what? I'm going to stop guessing because I have no clue.
They always look taller than.
Solution's come at me.
Taller than they look.
But he's been in very good VFL form, so that's promising.
Yeah, he's 190 centimetres.
190, okay. So we're close.
And he could at least go tash for tash with Danaher.
Yeah.
He sports a tash.
Is it doing much or?
Do they ever do much? Are you a fan?
I think, like, I am a fan of it on, like, Langford. I think it really, really just sharpens up his face. I think he pulls it off. Digress.
I don't think it's doing much.
Who do you think he'll who do you think will be the sub?
I'd like Foster Kid. I suspect. But do you know what could happen though? That they might just almost be conceding this game and thinking, you know, we're likely to be down by 30, 40 points at three quarter time. Why not just bring Boss on for a quarter? Let him bump a few people and crunch a few people. That's not.
But why not just start him then? Just fucking start him then.
Yeah, I'd like him to start. I go back to the original conversation we had at the start of this forecast.
Mm.
What are we playing for this year? I think we're playing to see which players. Well, one of the things we can get out of this year is who's a list clogger and needs to go to the knackery and who's got a future. But maybe the coaching staff, you know, far more than you and I might think that could be counterproductive. But he's obviously close. If he'd been named as an emergency, maybe it's just because we don't have any height at all.
But isn't it a good opportunity to play him while Peter Wright's out? Because in 8 weeks or whatever, 2 metre Peter's back and he's going to, you know, start to build his chemistry with Wiedemann and Stringer. If they're our three tools, isn't it smart to see what Voss has got and what he can build whilst he's out? Or do they want, maybe they're waiting until Peter Wright's back to bring him in?
Well, listen to this. Listen to the forward line named.
Yeah, go.
You've got Wiedemann, obviously, centre half forward. You've got Stringer, who, you know, is kind of a medium sized forward, to use your term. And then the rest. I mean, Caldwell's, I get, like, not big. He's not going to be taking marks or leading. So he's playing as a small forward if he's in the forward line. And you got Hobbs, Menzie and Waller.
What kind of bullshit forward line is that?
Like, a bullshit forward line. But we do we, like, I think Archie Perkins probably starts.
I know Phillips will rest and Draper will rest down there, but it's just not fearing anybody. Harris Andrews and Marcus Adams, they're gonna pop a cork of champagne and just sit on the fence. Like, they are just not even gonna blink at that forward line, Solution.
Agree.
At least with Langford down there, it adds a bit of it's a bit unpredictable, as we saw with Alia last week, you know?
You know, the sad thing is that there's forecast rain Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but not Saturday. Hopefully, maybe the rain could come early and that could change things a little bit. But Brisbane are very used to playing with a slippery slope.
Well, isn't it always dewy anyway up there at night?
Yes, it is.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay. So...
But, you know, torrential rain would level the playing field a little
bit. Absolutely would. It absolutely would. I would have been happy with rain, to be honest. But, yeah, the footy gods are not, let's be honest, they're not impressed with us at the moment because,
maybe they're not impressed with us. Like, Fiona's forecast, we did say when we did the first one, it was kind of a wait and see and we were going to see whether there was any kind of turn in our fortunes on field.
Well, there was. So I don't know. What did
that
they
do? That was a false dawn.
Did they take offence to something we said last week? Did they take, I have to re-listen to it?
I don't know. I'm just looking at this Brisbane team, and they just look
everywhere.
They're just better. They're better all through the ground.
Look, okay.
They're bigger. They're stronger. They're more experienced.
Let's look through the midfield. That's going to be our ascendancy. That's where we're going to have to get ascendancy. The likes of I think they're going to have to they're going to have to play a defensive midfield role, Caldwell or Setterfield, on one of Lachie Neale, Dunkley. They're going to have to shut one of them down. But that is where we're going to get ascendancy. Merritt, Scheel, Setterfield, Caldwell.
I think Setterfield has to recapture his round one form.
But here's the thing. Last week he played on the wing. So we can't even judge him off last week. He played on the wing.
But now, you know, we've got that hole in the midfield that he could possibly fill.
Well, now, tomorrow night he has to, because they've got too many balls in there. He has to shut one of them down in a bit of a defensive role.
Okay, so that leads us to the next segment, which is who will be the sitting Joe? God, we're playing sitting Joe as well. He's gonna have a field day. That's one of the worst things about having no tall defenders. But yeah, we have to pick a sitting Joe and a smoking Joe. So I think I'm doing the smoking Joe this week. Is that right?
You are correct. Who you got?
I'm going to say, I think Caldwell will have a good game because I think he'll play more midfield time again, like he did when Zach Merritt was out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Redmond's going to get back to recapture his form from the start of the season and last year.
What and makes I think you he's say gonna, that?
Why would I say that?
Yeah, what makes you say that?
Ball's going to be down there a lot. He's going to have plenty of opportunity. And I reckon it might be. We're going to need somebody to stand up.
Down there.
Down there, particularly with young Baldwin there. Sir Thatcher's still young.
Baby. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, they're babies. What Heppel's going to have to. And McGrath, he's the vice captain. They're going to have to really rally.
100%. But I think Ridley's one that has shown leadership in the past at various points.
Redmond, you mean?
Yeah. And I think Redmond. Redmond has shown leadership, and I think he can stand up and put his stamp on the game and maybe help a little bit so we don't lose by too much.
Look, I think he needs to. I really think if it is a matter of he's just not working quite as hard as he was last year, as Winsock 2000 pointed out, I think he needs to pull his thumb out now and step up. So Tip would be a good starting point, hey?
Agreed. All right, who are you putting the kiss of death on and selecting as a sitting Joe?
I'm going to say Nick Hind. Unless it rains, and then I think he could have some fun. I just think he's going to be a bit lost. So the thing, I think Brad Scott has actually told Hind to not do that run and gun. You know how you were saying to me a few weeks ago that he's bouncing, he takes unnecessary bounces and ends up nowhere? I think Brad Scott agrees with you and has told him not to do it because he looks more hesitant to me to do it.
I just wonder if he's just not good enough.
Okay.
Like it's kind of it's kind of sad to say, but like we could dissect it till the cows come home.
Okay.
He's, you know, doesn't read the play brilliantly.
What's changed from when he was lighting it up?
Don't know. Sometimes players. You know, you rarely see players who are well-credentialed, you know, when they're drafted and a high draft picks and a good drop off suddenly, unless there's injuries or something like that, and get better.
Mm.
But what you do see is you see the inverse sometimes, which is players who've kind of had different paths into the game come in for a season or two and do really well, but then just revert to the mean. And, I just wonder if he's quite good enough? Does he find it? He doesn't quite find enough of the footy for a guy in that kind of role.
But I don't even understand what's his role in this system. That's what I'm trying to kind of understand. What is his role specifically? Because he's not doing the he's not shutting down a player as far as I can see, but he's also not dashing and running from the back line.
That's a good point.
To set up play. So I'm just, is he just there to plug a hole? Yeah. So anyway, he's my sitting coach.
As Janet Jackson said, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yep.
What do you think about, is it just one Judas playing? There's two Judases playing.
Yeah, times two. Yeah. And fuck them both. I wish neither of them well. Either of them. Both have very little character or class as far as.
Yeah, I don't wish them well either. I don't, for all jokes aside, I don't hate anyone really. And I certainly don't care enough about Danaher and McKenna to hate. But that said, I don't want them to do well. Not at all. I don't wish knee injuries on them. A season career ending knee injuries, but do I? No, I don't. But I'd certainly be happy if they went completely kickless.
Look, if I saw them down the street, I wouldn't heckle them and I wouldn't throw things at them. But I absolutely
get arrested.
But I absolutely hate them and I do not wish them well. And if I never have to watch them again, I'll be very, very content because I am a self-aware person who is not ashamed of how she really feels. And I think if everybody who hasn't done work on themselves went under some hypnosis type hoo-ha, they would all come out admitting that they hate the likes of Joe Danaher, Adam Saad, and Connor McKenna.
You said this last time, and I do, I admire the fact that you are aware of your feelings. Usually the kind of the arc of sort of self-analysis is you sort of look at those feelings and recognize those feelings within yourself and then you try and let them go. Yeah. But you're kind of like, so that you recognize them and you're like, no, I'm actually going to just embrace them. Is this what I'm hearing?
Exactly. Because you know what? When you embrace the demon and instead of trying to get rid of the demon, the demon just hangs around and then dissipates by itself. Like it doesn't affect me like it used to because it used to really, I could never watch a game, a Carlton game or a Brisbane game. I'd get a stomach ache. But now I can.
Really?
Because I was so upset watching it, watching Saad and Danaher. But now I just watch it with hate and I'm okay with that.
I'm absolutely okay
with it. Embrace it and it doesn't control you.
Embrace the hate.
Embrace any kind of feeling. If you're jealous of them, embrace the jealousy, you know?
Life lessons you get from Fiona's forecast.
Well, this is not just forecasting. This is some form of therapy. All the tricks here.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. All right. Wild card.
Hang on a sec. Before we get to the wild card, I need a yay or a nay. Booing still has a place at the football. Yay or
yeah,
nay.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't believe
pay your money. That. You pay your money and these sanctimonious wankers in the media who say we shouldn't boo.
Did you hear the high horse that Eddie Maguire was on this week? Did you hear the fucking high
a former president of some of the worst fans.
But also the racist prick that he was getting on a high horse about booing. Give me
Gorilla Gate.
Yeah, no one could have heard that and thought he was not looking a fool because it was ridiculous.
Yeah. I agree with you 1,000%.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll boo Rioli.
Yeah.
Because he belted Ridley.
Absolutely. But it's part of the entertainment. For most fans, let me just say, the majority of fans, there's not a lot of malice in it. It's just part of the spectacle, the entertainment, you know?
There's zero place for obviously racism, and there's zero place for personal insults. Yep. And we all know the lines.
That's right.
Adults know the lines. They don't need to be told. They don't need to be educated. People understand what the line is.
Exactly.
Booing is part of the game. And I remember being as a kid, and I booed Brereton. And
did
I booed.
Did they boo in the world game? Given you're the, what do they do to opposition? Like,
what do they do? They sing songs that are very
during the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll sing. All you need to do is look up YouTube, worst football chants, and they say some things that are very personal and very pointed, and not all the time, of course, but they are ruthless.
There you go.
They are absolutely ruthless.
Okay.
And, you know, players, again, aside from racism, it's all pretty much fair game. But, yeah, and of course, just like, the worst thing you can do if someone calls you a nickname that you don't like, the worst thing you could ever do in Australia anyway is say, don't call me that, because thereafter everyone will call you that. And now people are going to boo more and boo the guy more because of what Eddie's saying.
Yeah. Agree.
All right. The wild card. Look, I'm really scraping the barrel here.
Oh.
I was hoping that there was going to be rain around, and I was going to ask about what impact that might have. But all I can come up with is, could there possibly be a world where Danaher kicks like 1-10. This is what I think they'll try and keep him deep this week to exploit our lack of height. Makes perfect sense. So, you know, that I've always thought Danaher's at his best when he's moving around and roaming up the ground, and particularly if he's more than one kick away from goal, because we know he can hit a chest from 50 metres. Can't hit the goals from 25 directly in front, usually.
Or he can hit a goal from 60 metres.
This is true, yeah, exactly right. But I think if he plays deep, our only hope, Obi-Wan Kenobi, our only hope is if he has a shocker in front of goal. And what I want to ask is, you know, you're obviously kind of delve in the dark arts a little bit. You said embrace the hate.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any voodoo doll we could create? Is there any, what any hex? What can we do? As again, not to injure him, not to maim him. I don't wish him any bodily harm, but I'd like him to have mental scars of walking away having kicked 1-10. What can we do?
Well, I think you pretty much hit it on the nail on the head in the end there. It's going to be about getting in his head. So we can only hope that he gets in his own head about wanting to beat Essendon so badly because he's an asshole and whatever he thinks.
Mm.
But he'll be wanting to beat us badly. So we can only just hope he gets in his own head and fucks himself up, because I don't think, with respect, none of our guys down there are putting any type of fear into him. With respect, and I love this team more than my life itself, but like neither end of the ground is putting much fear into the Brisbane players. My only thing about keeping him deep, which you make very good points, like expose our lack of height. It's genius to do that. But he plays his best football, has played his best football at Brisbane when he's been the second ruck, getting far up the ground.
Yeah.
So I don't know that they'll sacrifice him, to be honest, because the first four games, I think they kept him deep and he was not much chop. But the reason he's come good in the last few weeks is because they've actually got him up the ground. So, look, I think we'll be exposed enough with Hipwood and Gunston, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a good point. They probably don't need to. And let's be honest, like in terms of wild cards, if that wasn't the biggest bit of straw clutching I've ever seen, like I'm basically hoping Danaher plays forward, gets a heap of the ball, and then misses all the shots, thereby meaning that Brisbane kick one goal, 15, and therefore Essendon somehow have a chance. Like it's not going to happen, is it? I've got more chance of winning Tats Lotto.
Yeah, look, I think nobody is under any illusions that it's Brisbane's to lose, put it that way, unfortunately.
Yep, yep.
But do you subscribe to the fact that it should be system-based no matter what? System, no matter who what personnel you've got lying around, it's system-based and that's about it?
What do you mean in terms of this kind of narrative I'm seeing on Twitter, which is, why are we being negative? Okay, Parrish is out, but we should be better than that as a list just because we got injuries. We shouldn't be making excuses. I think that's horseshit.
Yeah.
I think it's horseshit. You can't have every list has the best player right down to the player who is about to be delisted.
Mm-hmm.
Every list. And in that fantasy world, it doesn't matter who they are. How many players on the list?
40 something.
Yeah. So, you know, number 40 is as important as number one. It's a ridiculous notion.
Yes,
it's a ridiculous concept. I certainly do believe that you need to have certain non-negotiables that every player adheres to, whether they're playing or not. I do believe that you have a system which is, like you said, a brand of footy earlier that we try and play irrespective of the circumstances and that we try and have belief and we try and have all those things, but you can't have your best players. You can't lose Peter Wright and just say, it's not going to matter because the next guy will step up and be as good as him. It's just not like, what planet are we on here?
And look, let's be honest, you can pluck out one or two, but you can't pluck out six of your top best.
That's right.
Which Ridley, Parrish, and Peter Wright would all be in, you know? You can cover maybe one or two. That's
not six, but yes, I get your point.
No, that's not six. Don't we have Laverty would probably, well, in terms of our needs,
Laverty. Important players, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of importance, Laverty would probably be up there because we have no cover. So, okay, that's four. Help me out here. Is there another two that?
We've got. There's guys like Cox and these sorts of players that.
Yeah. Okay. So four. Let's say
Reed, and you know we would have hoped that by now they were.
Look, just say our depth is being tested. Would we agree with that?
Yeah. 100%. But don't tell me that we're, you know, being hyper negative by thinking this is going to have an impact and that we should somehow miraculously win. Those same people that think we win will be whinging when we lose next week.
And daring championships,
That's right.
And calling for change, yeah. So second, I've got another wild card for you. A member of this podcast has suggested that we start tanking, essentially. I don't want to shame him, but he said something along the lines of why finish, there's no point in finishing ninth. Let's just...
Well, shame him. Who is it?
No, you're in the group chat.
I don't read all that shit. Who was it? I missed that one. No, I missed that one.
Is it just me just shouting into a void in there?
I missed it. Who said it?
I'm not shaming him.
Look, you're going to... I'm going to have to now go and look it up.
No, can just answer
and
the
then,
question.
And then I'll have to ban you and him because I'm going to ban him for a week. Who was it?
Do you agree now?
Who was? Who was it?
His name starts with C.
He's a C. Well, that's all of them.
Oh my god! Don't tell me. Oh my god!
I was looking. Okay. Both his real name and his
correct.
Yeah. Okay. The correspondent. Okay. Yeah. He was probably just pissed. Anyway, you know what?
Do you think we keep fighting for that eighth spot, or do we just...
No. I think we're going to be better than North Melbourne and West Coast anyway.
So we're not getting Harley Reid, but
That's right.
But we're getting, if we finish ninth, what's the, like, we're going to get the.
I don't think you overturn progress or halt progress or change the way you're trying to learn how to play. You change your rates of improvement for one potential player who may or may not be better than the 10th drafted player anyway, or the 9th drafted player anyway, or whatever it is when you finish where you finish. So I'd much rather just see what we're seeing this year, which is progress, which is, again, as we said earlier, seeing who of those players on the fringe who looks like they're going to make it and who probably won't. And there's probably a number of players who decisions will be made, because Scott's looking at them this year. And at the end of this year, we have a lot more of an idea of who he wants on this journey.
Yeah, so, it'll be his first opportunity to mould his team, because he hasn't had a say. He turned up and he had a list. But come end of year, he'll be able to dictate and say, no, we need – I don't want any more defenders under the size of 190 centimetres. I want a spare key forward, you know, who's a key forward. You know, he'll be able to put his little details on the list. So,
I agree. Okay. So, yeah, we need to continue to progress and not worry about where we finish, including trying to finish worse than maybe we would have otherwise.
Yeah. Look, I mean, eventually we'll get these players back, but for now it's going to be a little bit tough going for the next month, let's say.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
So what's your score prediction?
Oh, yeah, okay. I think it's going to be more like in the 40s, 42 Brisbane, and that'll be probably a palatable margin, I would say, because it probably could be more, but I think around 40.
Yeah, I don't know. I reckon it could be 10 goals, actually. Yeah, and I hate to say it, but this could be the first game that we really get walloped.
Yeah, and it needs to happen, because I said a few weeks ago, I think every scenario has to happen so we can experience it with Brad, and Brad can... It's like a rehearsal for when it happens again, you know.
That's a positive way to look at it. We need to lose by 100 points.
Yes, we need to experience it, and the players need to feel the pain and the shame, and then bounce back. Like that's you gotta get to rock bottom before you can. Hey, this week we need silver linings in whatever colour they come. Okay.
All right. Fair deal. Yep.
All right, so between 40 and 60, eh?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Just breathe through the game, Bomber fans. Just whilst you're through the game, don't read into it too much. Just remember we're back in Melbourne post that game. And, seeing how Richmond are kind of playing currently, now I'm a bit worried about Dreamtime. I said we were going to win and now I'm worried because they're playing very well against Geelong. But, anyway.
Yeah, it's look. I'm not. I don't give us a chance in Dreamtime either. But anyway, we'll get to that next week.
Yeah. All right. Hit me with your sauna. Is it sauna time?
Have we got time? Okay.
Yes, of course.
All right. Tales from the sauna number 3. So
won't you say people drop off by the end, anyway?
That's right. So for any new listeners, because by the way, just as an aside, in a moment of weakness, I agreed to put this podcast on the podcast streams. So put it on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Podbean, which is where our site's hosted. So I just revived the account, and it seemed like a good idea at the time. And after about 5 hours, I was like, what the fuck is going wrong? I couldn't get things to load. And then I realized it was a problem with the image. I'm boring people with details now, but I fixed it. So there may be people that haven't listened for a while. So for them, yeah, the latest is I'm kind of obsessed with the local sauna at in Reservoir. And, last week I told a little bit of a tale. So, okay, I'm going to go into
First of all, is there any update from, do we have an update from the story from last week? Is there any updates from the old man who, once his wife gets up and moves out of the sauna, another little woman poses up to him?
I only saw him briefly this week. Right. I went at different times because of work. So I need to keep watching that. But okay. This one, okay, so there's a communal bathroom.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, standard. And I don't know if women have this. Fiona, you can tell me this. Men do have a wonderful facility to look but not see. Does that make sense? So basically, just like at the urinal.
Yeah.
You'll be sitting there and you're holding your cock, you're taking a piss, but you don't see, you don't look.
Yeah, okay.
And it's the same with the shower, so everyone's naked walking around.
Oh.
But you're not actually registering. Does that make sense?
That anybody else is around. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you don't look. You don't. So you're kind of walking around with your head up. You might even talk to each other, but you don't zero in. You don't look.
Oh, okay. Yeah, women are not like this in terms of, like, I would say that less women walk around in the nude than guys do. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that probably makes sense. And it's an older crowd too.
Okay, so no shame.
Lots of old Italians, you know, Vietnamese, Chinese, Greeks, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no shame at all. No shame at all. Lots of old school, big, thick, grey bushes.
Yep.
Lots of chest hair.
Yep.
As you can imagine.
Well, this is getting R-rated.
Yeah. that's right. So I'm trying to delicately get there. But you don't notice, you don't look. That's what men do.
Okay, yeah.
It's almost like, it's probably like Japanese porn apparently is. It's all it's all pixelated in your brain. You pixelate it.
Right, okay. It's like a reflex. It's just a reflex not to look.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
But holy shit, did I look.
Oh, wait. No.
I saw.
In the sauna.
No. This is in the showers afterwards. Okay. Yeah. I just saw a guy. He had more metal than he had, like, member.
My God. This is. Don't be playing this in the car with your kids in the back on the way to school.
No, because they'll be asking what. But he had, like he would have had, like, I don't know, 20 piercings or something. And it was just suddenly like, what? And then it was a youngish guy, of course.
Was this an older one too?
No.
Oh.
But anyway, I'm going to try and avoid that guy if I can, because it was kind of like that broke the sort of the wall of pixelation that men have. I couldn't help that one.
Oh my god!
Anyway, slightly traumatized. Let's be
honest, he's probably used to it. I mean, yes. You don't get that shit if you're not.
I'm not. I've got the trauma, not him.
that's probably the point as well. Half the point.
Yeah, no doubt. But anyway, that's tale from the sauna. That might kill the segment, actually.
That I have to admit, I did not see that coming. That took me.
Neither did I.
And I'm the one who's got the wine. So what's your excuse for going R-rated?
Tales from the sauna, man. It's what happened.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
That's
an interesting way to finish, certainly.
Yeah. I'm trying not to think about it, to be honest. But anyway.
Alcohol. Tomorrow night, downing your sorrows with alcohol should help with that.
Just to finish on that, there's been a number of people talking about how they're going to – you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when – teams get relegated in English football. Doesn't matter what tier they're in, whether they're in the Premiership or Championship or, you know, 1, 2, 3, whatever. When teams go down, when they know they're going down, so they know that, okay, they're relegated, there's nothing they can do, they party.
Oh.
It's this tradition. They just, like, they dress up, they drink, and they almost...
Pre-game.
Pardon?
Pre-game.
during the game, pre-game.
Oh.
They just, there's almost this sort of macabre, you're sort of reveling in your misery in a way. It's like we might as well just enjoy it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think there's a feeling of that this week.
There is.
A lot of people are pubbing.
Yeah, and there's a resignation, I'm going to say. A resignation to the trauma that's going to occur, but also an understanding as to why it's going to occur. And it's very much out of our hands, let's be honest, out of Brad Scott's hands. And it's not going to be because of bad coaching or probably not a lack of effort, let's be honest, if we're going off what we've seen the first 8 weeks. It's just going to be circumstantial, unfortunately. And I think we're all coming at peace with it, to be honest. I certainly am.
Yeah, it's a little bit almost like the top-up year in a way.
Yeah, it is.
But unlike then, we've got hope. We've got hope that there's a good young core that's coming through.
That's right. And hope and kind of with an eye for the future that we're going to see, still get something out of it. It's not a complete waste of time, basically. We're still going to find out about if Baldwin can play in defence, if, you know, Caldwell and Perko can step up in the midfield. So, you know, it's not a complete waste. So I just say drink, laugh about it, stay on Twitter, stay away from the negative Nancys and just embrace the pain and turn it off if need be, because we'll be turning away and gas bagging by the end of it, I'm sure.
Embrace the pain like old mate from the sauna.
Exactly.
All right. Well, on that note, it's a very good note to end on.
It is.
Thanks to everyone that listened. These were only meant to go for 20 minutes, by the way. But
thank you, guys.
Yeah, but thanks to everyone that listened, and we will see you for the next podcast.
Bye.
Ciao.